Long Talk Radio.
Chosen race. You are a royal
priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and as exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Hallelujah, friends. As we see so much going on in the world that we live in right now, friends, we need to take comfort in knowing that we're not of this world, and we need to act like we're not of this world, but we need to share this message of hope for the world, this lost and dying world, and that's why we're here tonight to continue on part two of unnatural forgiveness. Unnatural forgiveness. Yesterday we opened it up and talked about what it means to be to have forgiveness in our hearts, and it comes by way of a supernatural redemption that had taken place, a miracle that had taken place when Christ had gave himself for us. He who knew no sin, he became a sin payer. He paid our sin debt, and he took our place, and he's given us an opportunity now, friends, for us to live out this our lives down here as sojourners, as pilgrims. We are not of this world. This is not our home. Our final destination is with our Lord and Savior, our Creator, and we need to take comfort in that, and we need to spread this message throughout the world for those who are lost and dying right now, where they seem like they have no hope. They need to look at the one who has given us hope, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the God-man who came down here from heaven, and he dwelt among us, and he lived among us, and he died for us. And we now, friends, have this opportunity to be ambassadors. When you send, when the United Nations or when the United States sends a representative to foreign countries, they send them to foreign countries to do what? To represent the interests of the country that they go there for. So when we came, because we're here, we're to represent kingdom interests. We're to represent the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's pray, friends. Let's pray. I'm excited about tonight's message. We'll still be in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9, but we'll be looking at some other scriptures, and we're going to continue to look at how we are to respond in this dark world, in dark times. We are the light down here because Christ is in us, friends. And if we exercise our authority that God has given us to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, we will see victory. We will see souls change and people come out of darkness and come into the light. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, Lord God, that you died for us. You didn't have to die for us, Lord. You could have just came down here. You didn't have to do anything for us, but you came and died in our place. And you resurrected us, and you made us new creations, Lord. And all of us who have embraced this relationship, Lord, we know that we're so far from perfect. We're so far from meeting the standard, but you met the standard on our behalf. You died in our place, and you raised us up and made us new creations. And those of us who are working out our salvation with fear and trembling, we understand what it means to have victory, to have that sweet victory, Lord, because we know that we are more than conquerors. Even down here, Lord, we can still be conquerors. And we know that the flesh, we're no longer slaves to our flesh. We're no longer slaves to unrighteousness. Yes, we fall and we trip and we stumble, Lord. But yet that is not our bent. That is not our passion. For we have been raised up and made new creations. And it's because of the blood that was shed on Calvary for us that we have life and life more abundantly. I pray, Lord God, if there's anybody here at the sound of my voice that does not have a relationship, that tonight would be the night that they come into a personal relationship with the one, the only one who is able to save their soul and forgive them of their sins, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you and we praise you. May I decrease and may you increase, and may the Holy Spirit have his way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 17:9 as a backdrop, and we'll continue on. Proverbs 17, chapter 9, and want to just remind you guys, hey, if you're looking for a Bible teaching church, if you're in Los Angeles, you're looking for a Bible teaching church, West LA, we have Core Church LA, Pastor Steve Wilburn, Senior Pastor of Core Church of Los Angeles. Please come check us out Sunday on Thursday nights, 7:30 p.m. We're going through the book of Romans in our Thursday night Bible study. You can check us out by way of the web at www.corechurchla.org. And you can also check them out on the app, the Core Church LA app, as well as come check us out live because we like to see your face. 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. And please come check us out. Hey, and this Saturday they're having a men's prayer breakfast. I will be there 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Come out, bring a friend. The message will be great. The food will be great. And it'll be opportunity for us to meet. So come check us out on this Saturday. That's the 16th of July. 16th of July, Saturday morning. If you're in the Los Angeles area, come check us out for the men's breakfast at Core Church of Los Angeles. And again, that's located 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, 90034. And you can get all the information off of the app. So check us out there. I have any other announcements? No. That's it. That's it. Oh, I do have an announcement. I forgot. Hey, if you being blessed by this ministry, if you can, support us financially and sow into this ministry, pray about it. I don't want nobody to do anything without seeking God. But if you pray about it, ask God what you think you should give, and then go to the GoFund account on my page and you know, donate as you will, as the Lord will put on your heart. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't want nobody to think I'm trying to gouge them for money or anything like that. So I have to be careful because people was, oh, man, that's all he talking about is money. No, that's not all I talk about. We get the word over here. Anybody that know me know that that's not what I talk about. We're going to talk about the word. We're not talking about what's going on down here as much as we talking about this word. Amen? Proverbs 17:9. We left a, just a backdrop. Yesterday we talked about how that, you know, about how we should respond as far as being people of forgiving, with a forgiving spirit, a forgiving heart. We live in a post-Christian world where many people will hold grudges, and they hold anything that's going on now can be an attitude, or it can cause people to have an attitude about a person based on something that has nothing to do with you and that person. And there seems to be strife and tribulation going on down here. But we live in a broken world, friends. We live in a nation that has abandoned our God. We have basically kicked God out of schools. We kicked him out of our jobs. We've kicked him out of businesses. We've kicked him out of our churches. We've kicked him out. We kicked him out of our homes. And you can see this, the downslide of marriages and families and all that goes in, along with that. And what we have, friends, we have a post-Christian society. We live in a world where the Antichrist is building up his kingdom, and we need to be people who are walking in wisdom. And we walk in wisdom by being what? By being obedient to the cross of Christ. We need to focus on Jesus Christ and turn our hearts back towards our Savior. Because he is the only answer to man's problem. He's the only solution to man's problem. And man needs to be born again for him to have, be in right standing with God, for him to be in, for his problem not to go away, because we know that the world, according to Scripture, that lawlessness will increase in the last days. So it's not going to stop. But what we can do as believers is that we can make sure we do our part to lift up the name that's above all names. We can do our part to make sure that we're walking in obedience and we're walking in the light, that when all hell breaks loose, we're going to be heavenly minded. We're going to share this message of hope, which will bring people to a place where they have to look at themselves and they may have to make a decision saying, well, I need to turn from my sin and maybe I can start to see something different happen. See, we all have a responsibility to love our neighbor. And we all have a responsibility to love the God who redeemed us. See, God is not a racist. God doesn't care what color we are until, and God is only concerned about us being covered in the blood of the Lamb. You and I have to be covered in the blood of the Lamb to be redeemed. So God looks over us. And remember in the Old Testament, when Moses went to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, he had to, there was the last plague that was put on Egypt, which was the death angel was going to kill the firstborn of every male. And, well, the firstborn son of all the Egyptians, and all those who didn't have the blood across the doorpost were not covered. Well, friends, we don't have to worry about putting the blood over our door anymore. God has put the blood over our hearts. He's washed us. He has covered our sin. He's made us into a new creation. Those of us who have embraced Jesus Christ, not just as Savior, but as Lord and Savior. In other words, we no longer are trying to live our own life out, but Christ has redeemed us and made us new creations. And the old have passed away. How we think about sin, how we think about Him. We talked about the importance of having an uncommon forgiveness or unnatural forgiveness. It's not natural for us to forgive when people do us wrong. It's not natural for us to not want to go and retaliate. Our sinful nature, which we came from Adam with, that nature already was corrupt. And the way we wanted to respond was just how Cain responded towards Abel. It was wicked. Some more wicked than others, but we all can be caught up into this mess, this cesspool of what's going on. I watched a little bit of the funeral and the services that was going on in Dallas of the five officers that were slain, and they had nothing but good things to say about them. Those men were Caucasian men, but guess what? They were made in the image of God. They were made in the imago Deo of God, and those are human beings that I can do. I have nothing against them. They didn't do me no harm. They were fathers. They were police officers, but they were fathers. They were brothers. They were cousins. They were uncles. They were many different things to many different people. But most importantly, friends, they were created by God. And someone who was angry, someone who was bitter, someone who had a murderous spirit about them, acted upon that murderous spirit, and he took it out on officers who had nothing to do with his anger. And we all could be like that, friends, if we're not careful. We all could turn to our own wickedness. We could turn to that old, well, man, I'm going to pay them back. Man, I say we get our guns and we just go out and blast some fools. Man, we just got to go and we got to get the white man. We got to get the brown man. We got to get this man or that. If everybody thought like that, we would all destroy ourselves. And guess what? That's what Satan plants in our hearts and minds, friends. He plants this deception in our hearts. He fuels this. He lights the wick and says, yes, go get them. They did you wrong. And we end up becoming just as ungodly, just as wicked as the next man. And friends, it's going to get worse. I promise you, as God is my witness, it's going to get worse here in America, friends. Because when a nation no longer fears God, they have no choice but to be turned over to their reprobate minds. That's that mind that basically says there is no God. We have no authority. We have nothing governing us. So God starts to basically, they come into a point where they suppress their own conscience. They suppress their own thinking. Whatever was right in the past, we're going to jettison that. We're not thinking like that no more. We're going to think just like the rest of the world. And we're going to hate people for no reason. So we need to look at how are we to respond in a fallen world. How are we to relate to people who might come against us and they might be bitter or may be angry because we're of a different color and they might want to use words like you know, call you the N-word, or you might be one of those that call some white guy a honky or whatever else. And it can, and all this anger and all this malice towards people who are human beings who bleed the same color blood. How are we supposed to respond? How are we supposed to love? Well, it first starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, none of us will ever truly love anybody. See, our love will be conditional. It'll be based on what we feel versus what's real. And in Luke chapter 15, we saw here God was giving us an illustration. The father prodigal son. I'm sorry, I keep talking about my radio ministry, but that's why I named this product. I named it the prodigal church hour because I was a prodigal son, and God loved me when I didn't even know what love was. He loved me in my mess, in that cesspool of sin when I was out there in the pig pen. He loved me. And this is the same God that's willing to love all those who would come to repentance, all those who would humble themselves. He is not in no way will cast you away. It's a matter of, do you want his love and forgiveness? Do you? Because it's available to us, but we got to seek it. We got to seek it, and we got to be willing to give up ourselves. In Luke chapter 15, we read of this beautiful parable together. Jesus continued in verse 11. He said, 15:11, Luke 15:11, he tells us, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together with all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. Verse 18, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. Wow. Do you see the awesome love of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, the Father, how much he loves us, that he doesn't want anyone to perish? The son has left his house, left his father's security, went out to the world, lived this lifestyle of lasciviousness in his flesh, in his mess, bro, spent all he had, spent it all, squandered it all. But do you see this? He says, the son said to him, Father, he was going to go home and say, and humble himself, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. He first acknowledged that he had sinned against God Almighty. Then he said, I have sinned against you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. See what happens when forgiveness is acknowledged, how God is faithful and just. This parable is a relationship between man and God. More than just a father and son. It's between man and God. And God is showing us his love for us. When we come and confess and repent, he will love on us. He will restore us. He will bring us into right relationship. But we cannot be out here, friends, doing whatever we want to do forever and think, well, God is just going to forgive me. See, this old adage of no matter what I do, how I live, I'm okay with God because I've said a prayer. I said a prayer, Lord. No, friends, that's not how it works. Because if you read more of the Bible, you will see that those who practice sin is of the devil. You can't be a saved sinner practicing sin. You're saved by grace. You're still a sinner, but you're really a saint because you've been regenerated, and you don't practice the lifestyle that you used to anymore. The Bible says if I stole, I don't steal anymore. If I was a murderer, I don't kill anymore. If I was a whoremonger, I don't whore around no more. That's not my lifestyle anymore. You cannot be a saved porn actor. That's just not going to happen. A saved stripper. It's not going to happen. Those jobs are not the lifestyle of a Christian man or woman. Unfortunately, in today's society, we're told this lie from the pit of hell that no matter what you do, the grace of God covers you. No, friends, don't ever take God's grace as some kind of slip and slide that you can just slip and slide in and out, do whatever you want to do. If we could do what we wanted to do, what's the use of reading this book? What's the use of repenting? All we have to do is, hey, God could have wrote it real short. Just repent every time you do something wrong, and it would have been one verse. Once you put your faith in Him, all you'd have to do is just, hey, repent every, just repent every time. But God gave us 66 love letters here to read, and I think He wanted us to demonstrate our love back to Him as much as He's demonstrated His love towards us. And I think He wanted us to know how to live a certain way that gave Him glory and honor. He goes on to say in verse 22, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring me the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Verse 24, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. So they begin to celebrate. Do you realize, friends, that God, the heavens celebrated when you and I came to Christ? When you and I came back home? Maybe you were a prodigal. Maybe you're a prodigal now. Do you realize the heavens are waiting for you to return back? God is ready for us to be forgiven. He's ready to forgive us. But He wants us to confess and repent of our sins so we can no longer live according to our sin. I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but I am talking about Holy Spirit living, Holy Spirit directed. You and I are no longer to live in this world, for this world. We're to live for the Word of God. And the Word of God don't come back void. The only one wants you to do what you want to do is Satan and the flesh and the world. God doesn't want you to live like that. He didn't die for you and I to make a mockery of the cross. He died so that we could have life and life more abundantly. And this abundant life, friends, is not found in the world. I'm going to tell you, friends, my best life now, and this ain't Joel Osteen, my best life now is in the cross. My best life now is in this word. I'm broke as a joke right now, but guess what? I'm rich in faith, and every day I keep on asking, Lord, just give me more of You. Grow me up. Mature me in Your word. Because this world is fading. The money going to fade one day. One day it's going to all burn up. None of this stuff down here has any eternal value. The only thing has an eternal value is my soul, which is in either going to heaven or going to hell. I'm either going to spend eternity in heaven with Him or spend eternity in hell separated from Him. But I'm going to have, if I was to spend eternity in hell, I'm going to know why I'm there, and I'm going to be conscious of every time I rejected the message. Every person will be a believer in hell. Every believer that goes to hell, to the lake of fire, will be a believer. It just won't be a redeemed, but they will be a believer. We're going to have to stand on the truth, friends. It says the father saw the son coming down the lane, and he ran to him, and he wrapped the boy in his arms of forgiveness. Wow. Man, do you realize the blessing of God's forgiveness over us? It goes beyond human wisdom. Because you say, how could a holy God forgive me? And I'm so unholy. I'm so unworthy. I don't have nothing to offer God. I'm filthy. I'm a filthy dirtbag. I deserve hell and the hottest spot in there. But because of God's grace and mercy, He forgave me. And I know I don't deserve it. And He welcomed me home. He welcomed them home. All children that are backsliding, all children that have walked away from this grace of God, that truly understood the gospel when they heard it. Some people really didn't understand the gospel. They had a gospel. They had a gospel message. They never had the gospel. They had a message that was a cotton candy sermon. They was told to say a prayer and repeat after me. They got in the water. But they didn't understand what repentance was. They didn't understand what Christ truly did on the cross for their sin. That's why they never was truly born again. Some people had a said faith, but it was really a dead faith. Because it never was backed up by the power. Romans 1:16 says, Paul says, I am not afraid of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God, dunamis. It's an explosive, supernatural power that has taken place when your life has been radically transformed. When you no longer look at sin how you used to, but you look at it in the eyes of God and you see your sin for what it was, how it shamed you, how it made you, how it broke you, how it convicted you, how it made you look at yourself in the mirror and watch and say, oh, how did God save me? Why? A lot of people with sad face, but it's dead face. I never forget it. And this one's the biggest ones right here. And you know how I know that a lot of people's relationship is just talk? Because they'll justify certain things, and when you call them on it, they're going to stand on that, the lie. I never forget, I told this one brother. Now, we're sitting there talking about some very sound Bible teachers, godly men who preach the truth. We was on track when it came to that. But every time, you know, every so many words, I was hearing these F-bombs and all this cursing and everything going on. And I say, man, you know, you need to watch your language, man. Oh, man, you know, then you're going to get mad at me. Well, see, if I'm your brother, I'm supposed to pull your coattail because I want you to do the same for me. When you see me out of order, I want you to check me, not out of self-righteousness, but out of love. The problem is that in today's world, even so-called brothers and sisters don't want to be corrected because we want to justify certain things that we want to do. And now there's a debate going on in certain denominations about, well, is it okay to curse? Really? My Bible says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, except that which is for edification. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. James tells us not to that sweet water and sour water cannot come out of the same spout. Our tongue is uncontrollable outside of a relationship with Christ, and we all need to tame it. But we can't tame it. God can. That's why I know that when people say, "Oh, I can't help myself." And I've shared this story of a sister that cussed me out on Facebook one time, and she justified it, and I just let her do what she did because, see, it wasn't between me and her no longer after that. If you could get that angry where you're going to use that kind of language towards me and I'm supposed to be your brother in the Lord, you have at it. I just give you, hey, Lord, deal with your daughter if she is your daughter. But she was, you know, when I called her on it, she said, oh, don't worry about it. Everybody know who I am. I ain't arrived yet. Really? Oh, so you're going to cuss your brother out and call me all kinds of names. I got you. Again, the boy had rehearsed what he would say. In other words, he thought about what he was going to say to his father. Do we think about what we're going to say to God? Do we go to the father and talk to him and think about it? You know, are we really meditating on the word to what we need to go back and talk to our Heavenly Father? He was going to lay it all out for his dad and propose that he spend his time working like a hired hand. Now, he was speaking of his earthly father. But this story is more deeper than that. It's dealing with a relationship between the son and his father. Our Heavenly Father, friends, he wants to have communion with us. He wants us to talk to him. The boy was lost, but he had been bound. Let the celebration begin. Do you know that the angels rejoice every time a sinner repents and comes to saving faith? Do you realize that the heavens are in awe? They are raised up. That people are rejoicing. The angels in heaven rejoice every time one sinner repents and turns from his sin and turns to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The angels rejoice. There's a celebration in heaven every time a new soul comes into glory. Every time a new, not comes into glory, but comes into a personal relationship and they've been forgiven of their sins. The angels don't understand what salvation is. They don't understand what it's like to be redeemed. That's something they're looking down upon us saying, what is this whole thing about salvation? Colossians 12 through 14, he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This is what we're to do as the body of Christ. I know there's a lot of things going on around our nation, a lot of things, a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger, a lot of hatred, but guess what, friends? Our attitude is to put on love. Our attitude is to put on forgiveness. Hey, there were some cops down in Louisiana. I don't know what's going to happen to them, but how we respond as a church, we need to forgive. We need to basically let justice do what it's supposed to do, whether it's on this side or when God gets ready to deal with them. He says, vengeance is mine. He's going to repay it. Our attitude is not to go out there and be vigilantes and shoot cops. That's not the attitude of a Christian. It's not the attitude that God wants us to have. We got to show love even for those who despitefully use us, who are hateful, those who might be racist, those who might be unloving, unkind. We got to be the opposite, because Christ showed us before he went to the cross what it was like to love the unlovable. He showed us what it was like to humble himself. They punched him. They pulled his beard. They spit on him. They spit in his face. They mocked him. They ridiculed him, saying, if you're the Son of God, why don't you get yourself off the cross? Since you're the Son of God, Jesus, why don't you get off that cross, man? Come on. Miracle worker, mocking him. He was beaten. His back all torn up. See, these pictures we see, friends, blasphemy. These pictures don't represent the crucifixion. These pictures don't give a detailed story of what our Lord and Savior went through on that day. And then to be on that cross for 6 hours, friend, it was a slow, agonizing death, which caused you to suffocate, because you basically was trying to hold yourself up because your lungs were starting to fill and you were slowly dying because of lack of oxygen, and you could barely breathe. See, if you don't know the background of Roman crucifixion, you won't understand what it was like for those who had to go through it. It was a horrible, horrible death. Nothing pleasant about it. We see these little, pictures of a nice-looking white Jesus laying stretched out, and, he's got a little trinket of blood. No, friends, beaten beyond recognition. His own mother wouldn't have recognized him if she hadn't saw it. First John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. See, we don't have to worry about what cops are going to do when we're walking in love, friends. This right here should set us on a rock. Because when we're walking with Jesus and we're doing what is right, There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whosoever fears has not been perfected in love. We need to believe this because it could happen to us next, especially as African-American men. We could be pulled over by the next cop. How are we going to respond? How are we going to be girded up at that time? Are we going to be walking in the spirit that we will not have no fear because we know God? If God is for us, who can be against us? I'm not going to be walking around, driving around L.A., looking around every corner, worried about the cops, worried about this, worried about that. When you are anointed by God, and that's every believer, but you're spirit-filled, you're walking in the admonition of the Lord, you don't have to worry about who's coming after you. You don't have to worry about that. We got a great example. Jesus wasn't even afraid when they came to get him. This is a mindset, friends. We need to nail this one to our, we need to write it down in our car so we can always remember it. There is no fear in love. When you love God and you love your neighbor as you are commanded to do, love your neighbor as yourself, there's no fear in God. There's no fear. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. It throws it out. For fear has to do with punishment. And when you are a child of God, you're no longer under the condemnation, but you're in right standing with God. Even if you might be out of the will of God at that moment, you're still a child of the King of Glory. You and I have been redeemed. We don't have to fear. All around the nation, there's a lot of fear going on, and that fear is going on because we are not under the umbrella of God's love. We are not in the relationship with the God of creation, the one who has bought us, the one who has called us out of darkness and called us into the light. Colossians 3:13 says this, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. That's a command. That's a commandment from God. Forgive. Forgive and move forward. Forgive and move on. You don't hold it over their head. You don't hold it in your spirit. Absolutely. You can be white and watch me. You can be whatever color you are. I'm not prejudiced here. This is a message of the cross. Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. This is the attitude of believers, friends. Be kind. Be kind to your neighbor. Show love to your neighbor. White, black, Hispanic, Asian, whatever they are, show love to them. Don't tell me about you love Jesus, but you hate somebody of a different color. You treat people of your color better than you treat people of another color? No, we're supposed to treat each other like God treated us, with a heart full of love. Again, he tells us that we need to keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. There's no racism in heaven. We won't be segregated in the kingdom, friends. And until we get our act together as a church, until the body of Christ comes up under the umbrella of God's love, don't say you love him until you demonstrate that love. Love is an action. It's a verb. I love you, but I'm going to kill you. I love you, but I'm going to beat you up because you ain't the same color as me. Lies from the pit of hell. That's of the devil. That's not of the King of Glory. He didn't preach that. Paul said something real profound right here. 1 Corinthians 13:1-13. What did he say here? He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and have angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Are you making a lot of noise about love, but yet you know not you do not demonstrate it? You don't demonstrate it by deed, by action? See, love is it means that, hey, I'm going to show you more than I tell you that I love you. I'm going to make a phone call and call you up and see how you're doing when you're not around. I'm going to call you up just to say, hey, how you doing, brother? Love means that I'm going to get, hey, I will call you on the carpet about something. If you out of order with God, I'm going to say, hey, man, what's wrong with you, man? You know better than that. You scared to make that call. You got fear. And perfect love cast out fear. Perfect love cast out fear. Don't let your fears keep you from loving people. Because that's not of God. That's not the spirit of God. Absolutely. You can overcome your fears. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Romans 12:9 says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. See, there's a lot of people that don't have genuine love. There's a lot of people that won't abhor what is evil. They won't speak of what's evil. Look, what happened with those two cops killed those two men, that was evil. What happened when that man shot those five officers in Dallas, that was evil. I don't care who pulls the trigger, who does it. You don't get off the hook because you're black and I'm black. You're not my brother because we the same color. Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who's my sister? He said, he who does the will of my Father. Too many people trying to shift this around and make it, oh, we of the same color, so we the same brother. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You better be covered in the blood of the Lamb. You better be walking with Jesus. Then we can talk about brotherhood. Romans, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You want eternal life? You must come up under the umbrella of salvation. You must come up under the covering who is the one who is able to pardon your sins and forgive you of ungodliness. One who is able to bring you into a new relationship. I'll take that question after the program. Give me about 40 minutes. Right now I'm teaching. You can call in, though. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468 is a call-in number. I'll be taking phone calls roughly around maybe about 9:45. So if y'all can hold up, we'll be taking some phone calls. We'll have prayer if you would like prayer. And I would love, and whatever else is going on, we'll address those calls at that time. 646-668-8468 is the call-in number. Again, what did he say? In John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Because God loved humanity, not the cosmos, not the planets, not the land down here. He loved us, friends, human beings, because he created us for his purpose. The animals don't give him the same glory and praise him like we can. But God gave us an opportunity. He also gave us free will in the beginning of our relationship. When he created Adam and Eve, he gave them free will. And he told them, if you do this, you can have every herb, every tree in this garden except this one tree. But man violated his free will. And today, we're violating our free will. God has told us right now at the cross, hey, obedience is better than sacrifice. But what do a lot of people do, professing Christians do? They go around perverting, twisting, manipulating the scriptures, making them into scriptures. We go around telling God what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. And, hey, I got grace so I can do whatever I want to do. That's not the gospel, friends. That's garbage. That is not the message of the cross, friends. That's the message that you created in your lost mind. And God is calling church. He's calling his church, the ecclesia, his bride. He says he's coming back for his bride who is without spot or wrinkle. He's not coming back for a whoremongering bride, a harlot bride, a bride that's out here whoring herself around like Hosea. Or Gomer, I should say. It was Gomer. Hosea is the husband. Gomer was the unfaithful wife. That's how we act as a church in America. America has perverted the gospel. We've perverted God's grace. We've taken his love for granted. And we basically have said, God, thank you for letting us do whatever we want to do. Well, that's not the God of Scripture. See, because sin should break us. Being out of the will of God, being out of fellowship with God should break us. And if it does not break us and we continue to do this for a pattern or a season, maybe we're not really his like we say we are. Maybe we really have not come into a personal relationship with Jesus, and it's all talk and no walk. You had Judas. Judas was walking with Jesus too, remember? Judas was walking with Jesus for 3.5 years, yet he was a defector. Yet he was one who was basically a deception. He was deceiving the brethren around him. He already had in his mind what he was going to do. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he was willing to sell his Lord and Savior out for 30 pieces of silver. How many of you will sell? How many of you have sold out Jesus? What have you sold Jesus out? Are you in a pimp church, a prosperity church that teaches you name it, claim it, blab it, grab it? Are you in a church that lifts up money every week and they want to tell you how you can get rich or die trying? A lot of people pimping Jesus. They just not really, they don't have the biblical Jesus, but in their mind, they take the Bible and manipulate it, and it's all about what you can get down here, but it's not what God has for us in glory. They're not concerned about the next soul coming to salvation. They just want to know when you're going to come and invest and put your money in this pulpit. When you're going to come and give us this money, man. We need your money. You know, now that you said this prayer, now you need to make a deposit because Jesus don't like you. It's more blessed to give than receive. And they just keep on beating you up with Malachi and raping you spiritually, raping you through the scriptures with, oh, this, you're supposed to pay a double tithe. Oh, no, you got to give an offering for this. Oh, pastor's anniversary coming up. This anniversary coming up. The Lord's Day, this day, this day. And next thing you know, your family is... They bankrupt. They ain't got nothing back from God because God is not going to pay you to go to the house of the Lord. And neither is God going to be manipulated. That's not love, friends. Loving God means loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Your money is not the standard here. Your heart is. When your heart is right, then you'll give freely. You'll give freely, but you don't buy your way into the kingdom. There's nothing you can do to buy your way or buy God's love for you. He already paid the debt. Stop following these pimp preachers. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that by testing..." In other words, by investigating, by searching, by seeking, you may discern. That means judge. The word discern there means judge or test. When somebody say you can't judge, that's a lie from the pit of hell. We all are commanded to judge right from wrong, good from evil. Let somebody break in and rape one of your babies or something. Tell me you're not going to call it out. If they say, if that criminal, that rapist says, hey, you can't judge me, what you going to tell them? Man, I better not say nothing, dear, you know. Bible say, judge not lest you be judged. No, friends. You can be a fool if you want to. You commanded to test everything. Whatever's evil, whatever's wrong, whatever's ungodly, whatever's wicked, we need to call it out. I don't care if it was the president all the way down to the parishioners. We need to call out sin. We need to call out wrongdoing. If preachers are stealing, call it out. If they raping our babies, call it out. Nobody gets a pass. The Bible says, the Bible tells us to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. That's anything that's of the darkness, anything that's not of righteousness, anything that's not standing for truth, we need to call it out. And if they don't want to repent, you got to hold people accountable. Look, just because somebody in the church and they do some dirt, they do a crime, hey, the crime might require you to go to jail. We don't just give you a free pass because you're the pastor. You go to jail too. You're murdering people and we're going to just say, well, you know, we just, pastor, we love you, pastor. We're going to let you, you raping young girls. You know, there's been so many churches. We talk about the Catholic Church. Let's talk about in-house. These, some of these denominations and some of these contaminations, I call them, ain't nothing but cesspools for flesh pools, for fleshly fools. They're full of fleshly fools, people who are not converted to the cross because they continue to take advantage of our little babies. And you got big mega minister pastors knocking up women and not even wanting to take responsibility, but we invite these characters, these culprits, these crooks into other churches. It's a shame. We just sweep it under the rug. And this happens more and more in the black church. It's sad, friends. It's an indictment in the house of God when people are doing ungodly, wicked behavior inside the church and we cover it up, we sweep over it, and we just act like, well, he's a man of God. Really? I have no respect, none, for a quote-unquote pastor impregnating women in his church. Because see, as a leader in your church, you're responsible for the flock. You're responsible to protect and oversee. You're supposed to carry the shepherd's crook and ward off wolves. But what are you doing? You're eating them because you are a wolf. You're no different than the wolves outside the flock. I have no respect. And now we ain't talking about people that's doing one-time sins. They seem to be doing, this is their lifestyle. They got big ministries. People follow them, so they can't do no wrong. It's a shame, friends. And anybody that's supporting that foolishness need to repent and get out of there before God blind you and you be the next victim. I'll forgive you, but I'm sure I'm not going to sit up under you. I'm not sitting up under no false teacher this morning I talked about Cain, Korah, and Balaam. All three of these had different characteristics. They were all basically under the same sinful action to deceive. And they were wicked. They were murderers. There was a murderer. There was one causing insurrection and division in the congregation. And then there was another one that basically was a false prophet. Or basically one who was wicked and deceptive. But you had Cain, who was a murderer, Korah, who was causing an insurrection, and Balaam, who basically was just wicked. And this goes on, friends. It's been going on since the beginning of time. And guess what? Nobody seems to care when these false teachers or these shady, shade-tree pastors are standing up in pulpits, pimping you out of money, and then pimping the women in the church. Or sometimes they pimping the men. Because, you know, it's a lifestyle now, and we done basically voted it in, so now there is no standard of what a marriage is no more. Well, that's what they tell us, but I'll go to jail before I go to hell, because I ain't never going to tell you that lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell, friends. God already told us what a marriage was, between one man and one woman, and it ain't never going to change in my mind or come out my mouth any different. I don't care if they chop my head off, I'm still going to tell you the truth. Because I got to stand before God. I got to stand before God. We got to stand for truth, friends. But we got to be forgiving, though. The whole message, the whole point here is that we need to love people and forgive them. But we don't need to cover their sin to a point where they're not repenting of their sin. We got to stand for what's righteous. Again, back here, Proverbs 17:9, he tells us here, he says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, But he who repeats a matter separates close friends. And this is more about the blood of Jesus covering our sin and us not bringing that sin up to him. But I'm not talking about, I wasn't talking about that right now. I'm talking about the fact that when you got sin in the church, and it's like leaven, and it's like a snowball in the church, and this type of behavior continues to go on, and nobody seems to want to call it out, but we sit there, and we say amen and hallelujah, and we basically agree with the lifestyle. We agree with wickedness in the church. We agree with immorality in the church. Remember, friends, Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 5, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. When you get sin in the church, when the church is not walking in the standard of the word, and we start to just minimize it and sweep it under the rug, it won't be long, friends, before all the church is full of, is contaminated. It goes like gangrene. You know what gangrene does? Gangrene spreads, and eventually you're going to have to amputate something. Eventually, you're going to have to cut something off, like diabetes. You start losing toes and feet because guess what? We're not dealing with sin. We're not dealing with the heart of the issue. And it's sad. It's really, really sad because I know these men know what they're doing. Unfortunately, we're not reading our Bibles so we can be equipped and ready to give an answer when we see people that are being taken advantage of. People being raped spiritually and financially in the church. They're being raped. You know, you can't even get counseling from some of these so-called shepherds without, because you didn't give enough money. Your family is going through problems. You need some counseling, some spiritual counseling, and guess what? They won't talk to you because we got to go look at our books and see how much money you gave this year. And if you didn't give enough money, we won't talk to you. But don't be on that front aisle. Don't be one of them super tithers. And you gave over $50,000. Oh yeah, come on, brother. We'll talk to you anytime. You can come over to the pastor's house now. You come over to the pastor's house. That's not how it should be. There's nobody in the body of Christ that's less value because of what they gave. Nobody. We all, under God's umbrella, we all are significant. We all are vital to his ministry. If you're only vital to, quote unquote, the church you attend because of your tithes and offering, then guess what, friends? You need to find you another place to fellowship, because that's not the church of Jesus Christ. That's the church of Antichrist. If your pastor lifts up those who only give, you know, because they give so much money, or if the message is always about money, you need to run. You need to get on your skateboard and scooter and get up out that hellhole, because God ain't there. That's a place full of covetous and greedy. And God will not, not one of them folks are going to get into the kingdom with a covetous or a greedy heart. It's not going to happen. This prodigal son, he saw his sin before a holy God. He saw his need for forgiveness. He saw his need to come back to the Father. Again, in Luke chapter 15, we were reading about this prodigal son. And friends, if you're a prodigal son or prodigal daughter, you too can be forgiven, and you too can be restored in right standing with God. Don't worry about being restored under a man's authority or be restored under some quote-unquote pastor. But being restored with Jesus Christ is the most important thing, that you can be forgiven. The one who is able to save you, redeem you, the one who bought you, the one who has died on the cross for you, is the one who is able to pardon you and restore you in right fellowship. And he's not restoring you based on how much money you gave him. He's not going to restore you based on how many good deeds you did. He's not going to restore you based on how good you look, how clean you are, how you smell. He's going to restore you based on who he is. He's going to restore you based on his love for us. Because he loves us. Because he loved us. He's loved us since the foundation of the world. And guess what, friends? You can't get no more love from God than you already have. All the love that God is going to give you, he's giving it to you. You just got to embrace the love that he's giving. It's nothing we can do to earn more of God's love. It's like, oh, I need to get more of God's love. No. He's already given it. It's already there for us to embrace. It's there for us to grab hold to. It's there for us to receive. But it's a matter of, what are we going to do? Are we going to be obedient, walk in newness, walk in obedience, forgiveness? All these attributes, everything that God is asking us to do, it will be revealed to us back in love. Because when you're in right fellowship with God, you're no longer separated from God by way of sin. You know, when we're not in right fellowship with God, then we don't experience the love of God because we're out of the will of God. But as long as we're walking with God and being obedient to God's word, we can receive this love. We can receive this love and his mercy. But he's not going to give us more love. We already have it. We have everything that we need. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us everything we need to live. This is Ephesians 1. We have everything we need to, which pertains to life and godliness. You know, people is trying to do more things. This is like what the Jehovah's Witnesses are doing. They're out here trying to earn more God's favor and love. Well, if we just do enough of these, we go and knock on 1,000 doors a month. If we go talk to 1,000 people, we're going to be more loved by Jehovah. Wrong. You deny the Savior. You deny the one who already died for your sin. You reject him as God the Son. You reject him as the Messiah. You think he's the spirit brother of Lucifer. I'm sorry, they think he's Michael the Archangel. The Mormons think he's the spirit brother of Lucifer. They believe he's Michael the Archangel. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses believe. But they deny the deity of Christ. But you want to accept him. Oh, we believe Jesus died for our sins, but yet he's not God. He's not God. Even in their own translation, which is a perversion, they say, oh, well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was a God. They don't say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They translated he was a God. Well, that would violate Deuteronomy chapter 6. Because now he became a God, and I'm not to worship any other God. I'm not to have any other God, right? Friends, we have to ask ourselves, how much are we willing to forgive in these dying times of America right now, where we see so much hatred, we see so much malice, we see so many hearts, the love of most waxing cold. How will we respond when people's hearts are waxing cold? Well, we know we need to pray for this world, this nation. We need to pray for all wickedness in this nation. We need to pray for people's salvation and their redemption. But we need to be proactive. We need to take this message of hope to a dying and lost world, and we need to remind them that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not sitting somewhere. He's not somewhere far off, and he just left us here, friends. He died, but he rose again, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for us. He is actively listening and talking to the Father on our behalf when we go before him in prayer. Our God is there, hearing our prayers. And when we mess up, we can confess to him, and he will intercede, and he will put us in right standing. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins when we confess our sins. He didn't just leave us here to be on our own. When this world looks like it's going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, guess what? Christ is still standing up for all of those who have embraced him and trusted him in the finished work that he did on the cross. Don't let this news pervert your thinking about where God is and what he's doing on our behalf. Don't let this news or the social gospels in churches, because you got some pastors that's preaching this gospel of exclusion. basically we need to separate ourselves, because God is a God for the black man, or God is a God for the brown man, or God is a God for the red man, or God is a God of this man or that man, but he doesn't seem to be a God for all mankind. And if you get caught up in that, friends, you will have another gospel, which will give you another Jesus. And that's not what salvation is, friends. Salvation is colorblind. The only thing that our Lord and Savior sees is the blood that was shed, that he shed, that he poured out upon us. Don't let this world trip you up. Don't let the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's blinding the minds of people around here. And we're finding that people are under the delusion of another God or another Savior. And now you got all kinds of Christ out there. I heard a gentleman today, I was talking on social media, and this guy had to tell, well, do you understand the spirit of Jesus? What are you talking about? So I asked a couple questions. Well, who is Jesus? Then I wanted to know, who is the Spirit? Who is the Spirit of Christ? Or who is the Spirit of God? He couldn't answer neither one of those questions, so I had to let him go. I said, you're trying to teach me. You're promoting another Jesus. You're promoting a false Messiah. You're giving me a message that's not of the cross, but you're giving me a message of heresy. He went on to say a few words. I didn't reply back. I just let him do what he do. See, when you, this is why we have to be grounded in the last days, friends. Because, see, humanism, secularism, you know, man's own morality, whatever. We don't need to be theologians, but we need to know enough to be able to. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe, it says, always be ready to give an answer for the reason and hope that lies within us with meekness and with respect. And if you're not, you know, in the Word, then you won't never know. You won't never be able to give that answer, and we need to give that answer. We have to be prepared. Because, see, the world is looking for us for answers. I do this, friends. It sharpens my sword every single day to come here and to present the message of hope. It gets me in the Word. It gets me studying. It gets me looking at Scripture, constantly seeking him for answers. Sometimes I say, man, where did that come from? Because I know that God is amazing and awesome. He's awesome that he would use somebody like me, a filthy dirtbag like myself. And I walked away from God. After having the truth, I walked away for some years. And he still showed me mercy. He allowed me to come back home. He allowed me to come back home into his grace. All I can say is, I surrender, Lord. I surrender, because I know that I should have died on the streets of L.A., out there whoremongering around, allowing my flesh to be a slave to my flesh. But God loved me enough that he protected me, even when I walked away from him. He still had his cocoon around me. He still had his arms around me. He still was protecting me. And some of you right now, you have walked away from God. You've become a prodigal. And I don't know how long you've been gone, but you know that God is not. You know you don't have that peace and that joy which only God can give you. You've tried sex. You've tried alcohol. You've tried education. Well, if I just get enough degrees, I'll be all right. And we continue on trying to find this and that and all kinds of things in this world. Look at some of the most rich people in the world. Look how miserable they are. You find out they got all kind of OCD. You find out they got all kinds of, they got alcohol problems, drug problems. They got, you know, they lustful. They got all these women or men. They can't have, they don't know what they want. They buy one car, they got to buy 50 more. They're trying to fill a void. Because, see, one thing is not enough. So he's constantly trying to fill this void in their wretched hearts that only God can fill. And until they come into a personal relationship, friends, they're not going to feel it. They're not going to have this peace of God that surpasses all understanding. They're not going to really be able to relate to how you and I relate to how we need to love, and love is agapeo, it's selfless. It means that I love you even when you curse me out, even when you call me names, even when you mock me and make all kinds of sly remarks towards me, I still will love you. They don't understand that type of love. See, their love, their version of love is basically twisted and perverted based on, hey, you do me wrong, I'm going to get you back. My love says, hey, I'm not going to revile evil for evil. I'm not going to pay you back for what you do to me. I'm just going to keep on praying. I'm going to turn to Jesus and let him deal with you. See, when God sees my heart turn to him, then guess what? He can deal with my enemies. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. See, now that takes faith to walk in that one. That takes faith to be able to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you on this. I'm going to stand with you on this because I want to go and get them, Lord, but you handle them, because I know when you handle them, you're going to bring them into the knowledge of truth. You're going to bring them into a place of humility. You can deal with their sin better than I can. All I need to do is just trust in you. I want to, we're going to close it off there. 646-668-8468 if anybody wants prayer. I see we got a couple of phone calls. Let's pray right quick, and then we'll take a few phone calls. If anybody want to call in, and we're not going to hold the lines too long. I want to give everybody an opportunity to share. But 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. We thank you for your forgiveness, Lord, that you've showed towards us, Lord, sinners who did not understand what love was, but you showed us what love was. And we ask right now, Lord, just humble us, Lord God, in America. You tell us in 2 Chronicles 7, Lord, if my people will humble themselves, if they would just humble themselves and turn from their sin, that you would heal our land. Well, Lord, I don't see that happening, because we have turned from you. And it's until we turn back to the cross, Lord God, there's not going to be any redemption for America, Lord. But we can see people come out of darkness and come into the light. And we pray, Lord God, that you would use each and every one of us at any opportunity to share this message of hope, that they may come to know you, Jesus Christ, the only true and living Savior. We thank you for this time, Lord God, and I pray, Lord God, that nobody would go to sleep without confessing and turning from their sin and turning to the cross of Christ. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. Amen, amen, amen. Again, friends, I want to thank you guys. I know it was a little late tonight, but if you missed yesterday's blog talk, you can go back and catch Unnatural Forgiveness on Proverbs 17:9, Part 1, and then bring it back in. I see you there, Quia. Anybody that would like to call in, we're going to take a few phone calls. We're going to take a phone call, 323-369. You're live on the Prodigal Church Hour.
Good evening. Hello, caller. You're live.
Hello?
How you doing? Hello? Hello? They hung up.
All right, nobody wanted to call in.